Welcome to the Wall Street Journal's Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. Today's stories include what to do if you'd like a social media presence but are concerned about how to do it. Also, new ways of working thanks to new office designs and America's newest technology hub. Well, a new study finds that aging leaders who are clueless about social media are a major problem for a lot of companies, and many are too proud or stubborn to learn more. But new relationships between young employees and senior executives are slowly starting to change that. Here's Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenberger. Sue, explain this.
It ranges from all the way from not even really being comfortable using internal intranets to communicate, blogs, to just simply not knowing Twitter, you know, or not being able to network for the business. In general, it's almost any kind of communication that came in after 2000. Many of these older executives haven't taken the time to learn, and they have people doing it for them. That's a problem. Increasingly, a recent study showed that nearly two out of three companies are moving too slowly to embrace digital technology, and eventually that's going to hurt their ability to compete and appeal to modern consumers.
All right, so give an example of who's doing what to sort of bridge this divide.
Well, reverse mentoring isn't new, but a large number of companies are trying it, at least on a small basis. Cisco, Mars, Inc., MasterCard have mentoring programs. The Hartford had one recently. Sodexo USA does some encouraging of this. And the reason is that it pairs people one-on-one. It can really raise executives' learning curves very quickly, and it also can help the careers of the younger employees. It has to be a conscious commitment, though. It's something you have to plan and set goals for and go about very deliberately.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenberger. All right, so how much time are they dedicating, and are they dedicating a single person whose sole job, for example, is just to teach the senior executive?
That's the problem. Both parties have to fit it into their schedule as already constituted. They don't get a time off their day job, and that's one of the issues. Didier Bonnet at Capgemini Consulting is an expert on this and says that these relationships have to really have a time commitment, good chemistry, clear goals, an open-minded attitude among senior executives in order to succeed. I took a close look at a pair at MasterCard, and they initially met once a month in an office, and then after that, they're just in touch several times a week on email or face-to-face just to talk over the senior executive's effort to become conversant with Twitter.
I'll tell you what, right? If you're a 20-something listening to this interview or reading your column, put that on your to-do list, right? If you're an ace in social media and you know the company executives are not, throw that their way, how can we work out some sort of agreement here? I'll help you help me, right?
Exactly. One of the most interesting things to me was that at several of the companies that have these programs, they sprang up as a result of bottoms-up pressure. A group of young professionals started meeting in the cafeteria at the Hartford. Yo Pros met at MasterCard, and they really began to talk about how could we use digital technology better in our work? And this bubbled up and gained the attention of executives. So it really is worth talking with your peers about it to see if there's some good applications for the business.
Thanks, Sue. Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenberger, who's based in Portland, Oregon. New ways of working are emerging from co-working spaces. Here's the Wall Street Journal's Joe Connolly.
Here's what marketing firm owner Noel Starry likes the most about working in a co-working space.
Having the opportunity to find quick solutions.
On anything.
You know, you have any type of question, there's someone who's available and accessible to help you get an answer quickly.
And that includes help with technology issues, because Noel says the social media sites change their features weekly. I've heard so much about how tenants of co-working spaces help each other. I asked her, though, does it ever get to be too much? Do tenants ever say, I have to charge you for all this help? She says not at all. In fact, the opposite.
It doesn't seem so. They actually don't, because I think what starts to occur is you start realizing, hey, I can use what you're doing. Can I pass off this portion of my work, my client work, to your company? So instead, you start utilizing each other for client work, not necessarily for simple consulting.
Noel owns the co-working space where she works. It grew out of just asking friends to share an office. Now, she's opening a second co-working space. I'm Joe Connolly for the Wall Street Journal.
Thank you, Joe. Coming up next, where the newest technology hub is stirring in the U.S.
You just watched the market close in Shanghai. New York doesn't open for a couple of hours, so there's time to fit in a session at the gym, squeeze in a haircut, go hit a few balls at the driving range, shoot off some emails, and maybe even breakfast across town. And you'll still be the first one in the office. You're always ready to go the extra mile. Fortunately, so is your Cadillac. With Cadillac Certified Service, our experts make sure your Cadillac is as ready to go as you are.
Get AC Delco Professional Durastomp brake pads installed for only $99.95 or less per axle. Includes rotor inspection, retail customers only, turning or replacing rotors, all other services, and tax extra. Visit CadillacCertifiedService.com for details, other great offers, and to find your closest Cadillac dealer.
When you think of the U.S. technology industry, you might think of Silicon Valley, Austin, Texas, New York, maybe Boston. Here's a new location creating a buzz as a tech hub, Miami. Wall Street Journal reporter Ariane Campo-Flores says a startup scene is stirring. Ariane, where's this coming from?
A big part of the focus and a big part of the push in Miami is to make it what boosters call a tech hub for Latin America, because the city has, as we know, long-standing cultural and commercial ties to the region. You know, a lot of financial institutions have their offices in Miami. A lot of big companies base their Latin America operations out of Miami.
Okay.
But the tech stuff is new, and the people that are really pushing this idea are behind is that, you know, there's a really big growing tech market in Latin America. The online audience in Latin America was the fastest growing last year, fastest growing region in the world last year. And so it's seen as a natural place for tech companies that want to reach the Latin America market to operate, and also for the many new startups that are emerging out of Latin America that want to gain a foothold in the U.S., maybe get access to capital in the U.S. This is sort of a natural place for them to converge as well.
So I got to get this straight. The place I think of and associate with beaches, sunshine, all-night nightlife, South Beach towing, and Pitbull is now becoming a hotbed of entrepreneurial tech activity.
Yeah, I mean, hotbed may be overstating it. Okay. But funny that you should mention Pitbull, because Pitbull was actually part of this big event that happened recently that was based here in Miami Beach. It was the first ever iteration of what they called Emerge America's Tech Week. And the Manny Medina, who was a tech entrepreneur and one of the people who spearheaded this, enlisted Pitbull for, you know, part of the presentation.
Wow.
That they had here. But, you know, as strange as it may sound, there actually is some precedent for this. There was, in the 1990s, during the dot-com boom, there were a host of internet companies that were aimed at Latin America that either based themselves in Miami or moved from the region to Miami, and at the time it was dubbed Silicon Beach, and you know there was quite a bit of ferment, but then the dot-com crash happened, and it just sort of, then 9/11 happened, and then that just really squashed it. So yeah. There is some precedent, and folks that are behind these various efforts really feel like this is the time is ripe to kind of reprise that idea.
How about that? Wall Street Journal reporter Ariane Campo-Flores from South Florida. By the way, if you want more on small business topics, trends, and startup ideas, check out WSJ.com and click the Small Business tab. You can also get small business tips by following me on Twitter with the handle @GordonDeal. I'm Gordon Deal for the Wall Street Journal.